Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I remember to turn it on this time. I mean, yeah, last time I forgot. So it's good to be here, and I just want to echo what Ben's been saying. It's been absolutely amazing to see a church on fire for God. We've been in many, many different churches, and it's always refreshing when you can tell that the Spirit of the Lord is in a place, amen? That God is moving, and people are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is calling them to do. We are missionaries in Valencia, Spain. We've been there for 5 years. And we come back on our first furlough, and we're praising God for what He has done. We've seen salvations, we've seen baptisms, we've seen people surrender their life to God as we've been there, and we're just praising God that He is doing the work. Amen. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's the same here. It's not about what you do. It's about what God does. Amen. And so, my wife Kimberly and our two daughters Tali and Kaya, and we're just thankful to be here with you guys here this morning. And so I want to say that this little thing right here, does anyone have one of these? I don't know if anyone has one. And I'm not talking about that Android stuff. I'm talking about the real stuff, the iPhone. No, but this thing is amazing, right? I remember talking with my dad one day. They were sitting down, and he was looking at his phone. And he's like, you know, when I was a kid, the idea of having something like this in my hand was completely foreign. He's like, I remember when a computer took up a whole entire room, and all it did was just calculations. But you realize what we have in our hands. We have so many apps that allow us to do anything we want to do. If we want to find somewhere to go, we just use our phone, right? If you want to talk to someone across the world, we just use an app to talk to them. We want to watch a movie. We don't have to go to the movie theater. I mean, I love going to the movie theater, but we can watch on our phones, right? If we want to figure out how to do something, we don't have to get a book and figure out how to do it. We could just go on YouTube and just figure out how to do anything. This is an amazing thing, but I want to tell you there's one thing that's funny is that when I was at school in a math class, they always said, you need to know how to do math because you'll never have a calculator with you everywhere you go. I have one now. But the kids that are here, you know, learning math is good. But I want to tell you this. There's a really cool app I found on this. And I think it's on the Android version. But there's this really cool app that allows you to make a phone call. It's pretty cool, right? Because does anyone use a phone call anymore, or does anyone text? And my sister, she's always, I call her, she never answers. And she's like, just text me. I'm like, but I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. But it's an amazing thing. I remember when it's only a few months ago, we came back and I had to get a new phone number, right? So I got a new phone number and I was like, great, I can start making phone calls. And I start getting all these telemarketer calls. And these people say, hey, is this Roger? You owe some money, Roger. I'm like, I'm not Roger and I don't owe you any money whatsoever. But I get a phone call and it says, I don't know who it is, right? It just comes up with a number. I don't know what that number is. It has some different kind of area code that I've never seen in my life. And then one day, I had this one number kept calling me, and I kept saying, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to answer. I kept hanging up. And eventually, my dad texted me. He's like, hey, you going to answer your phone or what? I'm like, oh, sorry, Dad. I apologize about that. But the thing is, when you have a phone call and you don't know what it is, you don't know who it is, how do you figure out who it is? You got to answer it, right? You have to answer it and pick up the phone and say, okay, who is calling me? Because we don't know what the message will be, right? It could be a really good message. It could say, there's a person from Nigeria that wants to give you millions of dollars and all you have to do. And I'm like, yes. Or it could be bad news. It could be good news. It could be bad news. But we don't know. But we have to answer that call in order to figure out what is the news that I need to know about. What I want to challenge you guys here this morning is that God is calling each and every one of us. He has a call on each and every one of our lives. But the thing is, we have to answer the call in order to figure out what it is that God has for us. He has a path for you. He has a path for me. But we have to answer the calls of God to figure out what it is. And the first call I want to share with you guys this morning, that God is putting out every single day, every minute, every second of every single day, and that's simply the call to salvation. The call to salvation. If you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. If you come to church often or not, a lot of people know this verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. I just want to start out and say that we are all sinners, amen? That I'm a sinner. I have sin in my life. You have sin in your life. There's not one of us here that is sinless. We all have sin in our lives. And that sin is what keeps us from God, amen? I mean, because God is living here, let's say for instance, right here is God, and he loves us, and we're over here on this side, and we want to love God, and God wants to love us. But right in the middle of those of God and us is sin. And God's love's great, amen? God's love for us is more than we could ever possibly deserve. But even how big God's love is, it cannot get past that sin. That sin stops God's love getting to us. So John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that for God, what? So loved the world. And I love that the little word, so. It's not that God loves us. It's not that God puts up with us. It's not that sometimes God is okay with us. That so means an over and abundance love. How much God loves us. It's overflowing the love he has for us. Which means he loves every single person in the world, amen? But let's not go to go all the way out to the world. Let's say, okay, everyone, God loves everyone in America. Would you agree? Would you agree that God loves every single person in Vermont? Would you say that God loves every single person in St. Albans? That means that God loves every single person that's in this room right now. He has an overabundance love for you. And because he loves us, he is a holy God, that sin still separates God to us. So the Bible tells us, I'm going to take care of this sin. And it says, for God so loved the world that what? What did he do in order to remedy that sin that stops us from God? So I'm going to send my son. And my son is going to live on this earth. And Jesus is going to live a perfect, holy life that we could never live. He's going to live this life. He's going to do miracles. He's going to preach the gospel. And that's what's going to happen is everything's going to be fine and everyone's going to get saved. Is that what happens? No. That Jesus comes, he lives a perfect, holy life with no sin. And he gets rejected by the people he came to save. He gets rejected by the same people that he says, I come to love you and to show you a new way. And what did they do with Jesus? They put him on a cross. They spit on him. They beat him. They pierce him. And he dies on a cross for the very people he came to save. That's me and you. Amen. That's what that sin has done. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But praise God that it didn't stop there. Because if Jesus came to take care of the sin in between God and us, and he came, he did all of that, he lived a great life, a really good life, and then all of a sudden he dies on the cross, and it ends there, would that sin be taken care of? Jesus would just be a really nice guy who died for a really good cause. But he rose again 3 days later, amen? And when Jesus rose again, that sin is now taken care of. Now God can get to us and we can get to God. And I have to ask in this story, who has done all the work? Have we done anything? God came, sent his son to die and to rise again. He did everything because of that over and abundance love he has for me and for you. And it says in John chapter 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. Salvation is now possible. What I get across is this call of salvation never stops. This call to salvation didn't come from the grave. It comes from life. Amen. This call of salvation is for you. If you're here today and you've never heard what Jesus has done for you, he's waiting. He's waiting for you to answer that call. To come to the realization that I am a sinner and my life is in direct opposition to God, but he took care of my sin because of this overabundance love he has for me. Run to God. Answer that call today. The next call that God gives us that goes out every single day and constantly going out everywhere we go is the call to surrender. A call to surrender. I remember when I was surrendered to what God had for me, it was an interesting time because I surrendered. I was at church camp and I surrendered. God, I'll be a missionary. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. And then in the next couple of years, I saw the things that my parents were going through. My parents are missionaries in England. And you have to remember, especially a little bit earlier, I'm not that old, but a little bit old, a little bit younger, that me and my family, I have two brothers and two sisters, and my parents, we're living in England, and all my parents' brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, grandmas, and grandpas are all in America. And I looked at how that affected my parents. And I remember looking at and realizing that, you know, there's people, there are family members, my family members, who are passing away, and they can't get back for the funerals. I remember thinking, you know, there's weddings and going on that they can't get back for. There's births of babies that are happening and they can't get back for. There's people who are deathly sick in my family and they can't get back to help. And I thought, God, if you want me to put my future family through that, that's not going to happen. I am not going to do that to my family. And so I decided, God, I don't want to do what you called me to do. I want to do what I want to do. And can anybody guess what it is I wanted to do with my life? Instead of being a missionary and going to a different country to preach the gospel, can anybody guess what it was? Yes. A pro wrestler. Yes. I have the physique perfect for it. No. I wanted to be a rock star, okay? I wanted to make millions of dollars and live the good life, have no problems whatsoever. And so I know how to play piano growing up, and so it's really hard to be a rock star when you're carrying a piano to your next, you know, gig or anything like that. So I said, I'm going to put that down, and I'm going to teach myself how to play that thing, because that's what a rock star does, right? So I taught myself how to play the guitar, and I formed a band with some friends, and we started playing shows. And I'm like, this is really cool. I mean, people are starting to know who we are. People are singing some of our songs. I'm like, this is pretty cool. So I dyed my hair green, and luckily it was at the time when social media didn't exist, so no one's ever going to see that picture, which is great. But we did shows, and we came to this one show, and these people came to us in the back, and they said, hey, there's a guy, there's a scout for a record label, and he said, hey, if you guys do a good job, he might think about signing you guys. And I thought, man, this is it. I'm about to start making millions of dollars and live the good life. And so we all get on stage and we're getting ready. We're all super excited. I mean, we're pumped that this is going to happen. And I'm standing up there and I'm like, this is going to be great, guys. Let's rock this out. Let's do this. Amazing. And the drummer, he counts in 1, 2, 3. And then we all play a different song at the same time. I forget my guitar solo. The singer forgets the words. The drummer, for some reason, has no rhythm whatsoever anymore, and it's just a train wreck, absolute train wreck. And I thought, well, what just happened? This is what I want to do. This is what I put all my effort into doing this. This is what I want to do. You know, every time I wanted to do what I wanted to do, it always fell apart. And every time it fell apart, I'd always have in the back of my mind, God was saying, hey, are you ready to do what I called you to do? Are you ready to stop running and surrender to me? Have you answered that call of salvation in your life? If you have, the next answer, the call you need to answer is a call to surrender. Surrender your life to God. To truly surrender your life in complete dedication to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, I like it when I get to hear that some people still have a Bible. Because I was at one church and I said, go ahead and turn to wherever, and I heard nothing. And then I realized everyone had iPads. So it was, I'm like, turn your sound on so you can hear the shh, shh, shh. That'd be great. But Romans chapter 12, it speaks of what it means to surrender your life to God. To surrender everything you have to God. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that what? You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It says, "Do be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that speaks to surrender. Because it say every day you need to renew your mind daily in God. Amen? That every day we need to get up and say, God, I am going to live a life surrendered to you today. That no matter what happens, no matter if I spill tea on my pants, get a flat tire, no matter what happens, God, I'm still going to live a life surrendered to you. Because honestly, those little things can derail us, can't it? We're so fickle as human beings that the little things can just take us off course, and all of a sudden we think, man, why did I get so upset about that? Satan uses little things to get us off track. But we need to live a life that's surrendered to God. Surrendering to God, answering that call, surrender, is an everyday thing, not a once-and-done event. We must surrender our lives to God every day. Turn their Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and if you know what Matthew chapter 6 is, it's actually an amazing chapter in the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 9, it's talking about the Lord's Prayer. They asked Jesus, how should we pray? What should our prayers be like? And Jesus, obviously, he doesn't say this is exactly what you need to pray, right? You don't just repeat this and repeat this and repeat this. He said, this is how your prayers should be formed. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So you start out with, God, you are holy, right? God, you're the one that saved me. Thank you, God, for what you've done. You praise God for what he has done. And then verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Now this phrase, it speaks to a surrender, right? What it's saying is, God, I want your will done in my life, not my will. Can you say that today? Can you honestly look at your life and say, I am living in a way that surrendered to God, that I want his will done in my life, not my will? I wanted to be a rock star, and I did everything possible to run from the calling that God had on my life. I thank God that he destroyed all of everything I wanted to do to force me to go, God, you called me to do something, and I'm going to follow you. Can you say what it says in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Are your lives completely surrendered to God? Can you say that in your life right now, you can say, your kingdom come, your will be done? In your marriage, can you say, your kingdom come, your will be done? In your relationship with your kids, can you say, your kingdom come, your will be done? In your relationship with your boss and your coworkers, can you say, your kingdom come, your will be done? And in those times when no one is watching you, can you say, your kingdom come, your will be done? Are you ready to dedicate your life, to surrender completely to whatever it is God has for you? Can you say that today? the next call that God gives out. He has a call to salvation. He has a call to surrender. Surrender your life completely to God. Because you can get saved and not surrender your life, right? If you come to realization that, God, I am a sinner and I need you, and you do, and you profess that you want forgiveness for your sins, and that God is the one that can do that for you, you can be saved, but then you can live a life that doesn't reflect that. But if you answer that call to salvation, you've answered that call to surrender, the next call is the call to service. The call to service. You know, God understands us, right? God completely understands who we are. He understands how we will react to different situations. He understands how fickle we are. He understands how jealous we get. So easily we get jealous of other people. He understands all of who we are. And if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. And I love this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this because you have to look at it and remember what is the setting of 1 Corinthians. Why was Paul writing a letter to the Corinthians? It's because that church was amazing and everybody was great. Everyone knew that what they were doing. Everyone was doing everything correctly, right? Is that what the church in Corinth was doing? Complete opposite, right? They were an absolute mess. They were jealous of each other. They wanted what other people had. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. They weren't serving the Lord as they should. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's turn there and read there, starting in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So, the body of Christ, is what he's saying, is made up of different people, right? This church is not just your pastor, right? This church is all of us right here. But we're one body, right? That's what he's saying there. So the body of Christ is one, but with many different members, right? That's what he's saying. And so here comes the dysfunction that's happening in 1 Corinthians. They got jealous. They wanted to do what the other person was doing. And so let's read verse 15. He said, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set to the members every one of them in the body, and as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, if I need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of thee." So what is he saying? He's saying that the church in Corinth here, what's happening is someone's saying, "I want to do what that person's doing." But what's happening is that person that's saying they want the other person, they're not gifted for that part. God has gifted this person for this part, and your job is something else, right? And what's happening is they're constantly wanting to do what the other person wants to do. They're getting jealous. They're getting upset. They're getting mad. Have you ever witnessed a church like that? Hey, Kaya, Kimberly, can you throw me the ball? Go ahead. So, what I have here is a soccer ball, okay? It's the greatest sport in the world. Yeah, okay. So let's just say for illustration's sake, that this ball represents this church, okay? Now, do you notice that on this ball, there's all these different patches, right? See all these different patches on the ball? So let's say that all these patches represent one of you. And what the Bible's saying here is that this patch can't be this patch, can't be this patch. They're where they're supposed to be, right? And what he's saying is, if let's work together, right? God has a calling on your life, and that calling is meant to help this one body grow. And when we start to understand the call that God has on our lives for a ministry that God has for us inside this church, it's like this knitting that's all been put together. And when it's all knitted together nicely, it makes a ball. But what happens if we start saying, I want to do something else? That I want to do what they're doing. Oh, that person's always leading music. I want to lead music. I want to get there and lead music. That's what I want to do, but you can't sing. I mean, you can still lead music, but whew, it's a lot nicer when someone who can sing, right? But I want to play the piano, but you don't know how to play the piano. What's going to happen? It's going to sound interesting. But I want to preach. I want to go up there and get and preach with it. But if that's not what God has called you to do, don't do it. And what happens when we understand what God has for us, we become like this ball. And have you ever seen a professional football player? Because you put the ball with your foot. Anyway, a professional football player, have you seen what they can do with this thing? It's amazing. The control they have. And it's almost like it's just an extension of their body. They can do tricks. They can do all these things. They can run at full pace. And the ball never leaves their foot. When I look at it, I think, what can God do with a church that has answered the call to the service? That each member of this church understands, God has called me to do something specific. And I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to grow the talents that I have, that God has given me, to be able to do a work in this church. Can you imagine what God can do with Northside when every single person in this church is understand, I'm going to answer the call to service. I'm going to do something. For some of you, it may be preaching. For some of you, it may be do what me and Kimberly and Ben are doing, is going to a different country to share the gospel. Or maybe God's calling you simply to be the 100% the best member that this church has ever seen. That someone who serves, that shares the gospel in this local area, that when they see you, they don't see you, they see Jesus. How amazing would that be? So have you answered that call here this morning? Have you answered the call of salvation in your life? Have you come to a point in your life where you understood, God, I'm a sinner. I'm nothing. I'm damaged, I'm broken, and I need you. You're the one that came and lived that perfect life that I couldn't live, that died on the cross that was my death to die. God, I love you. Forgive me. Have you come to that point where you've answered that call to surrender? That every single day you say, God, I want to live my life for you. And have you had to answer that call to service? Has God been pressing on your heart something that you know, God, you're calling me to do something? I would encourage you, and I'm pretty sure you can ask a lot of people, the best place for you to be is in God's will. Amen? Amen. To doing what God has called you to do. Don't hang up. Don't look at that call that's happening and say, yeah, that's going to voicemail. God, I'll take care of that later. No, answer it. And step out in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time that you've given us this weekend to be able to concentrate on what you're doing around the world, Lord. But help us not to miss what you're doing in our lives. Lord, help us to answer that call. Help us to answer that call to salvation that is needed here in St. Albans, but also in the rest of the world. Help us to answer that call of surrender, to live a life that's dedicated to you. Lord, and then most importantly, God, help us to answer the call to service. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in people's hearts here, but I know you're calling them to do something. Lord, I pray you give them the strength, you give them the faith to step out and follow you. and whatever it is. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.